Website at blueheronfood.com.
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Lawrence takes a shotgun snap, back to throw. Steps up, throws it down the middle, has Ross open. He catches it at the 25, going to race into the end zone, touchdown.
We are WCCP, 105.5 The Roar.
I never saw the end in sight. Fools are kind of blind. Thought everything.
Oh, definitely going to need some George here in hour three. No doubt.
Since I've been co-hosting the show with you, have you listened to more George in these 3 years than you have in your whole life before?
You're going to take this the wrong way, but I'm going to say it anyway. Since we listened to a little bit of George in rejoin fashion, the answer is yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. That's part of my job here is to educate you.
At least a little bit.
On the King. I'm glad to do it.
I've not downloaded any more George than I have before.
Well, that's concerning. I got to be honest. I assume that by now you would own the entire discography.
But I appreciate it. I mean, we've gone to some deep tracks, you know, a couple times here for rejoins. We have.
That's not a deep track.
I'm right, of course. But I feel like I familiarized myself a bit with George Strait.
Well, you know what I say,
Clemson guy.
Deep cuts only.
Deep tracks only. Deep tracks only. Bow! Bow down now. Anyway, hour three of the program, 654-ROAR is the number. 654-7627 on the Northern Communication phone line. Some people have no idea what we're talking about right there. You need to look it up. Look it up. Google it.
Quack, is it safe to say that over the last 24 hours, the biggest story in college football has been the Jalen Hurts transfer to Oklahoma,
of course,
right?
Yes.
And we've talked a lot about Oklahoma, more than normal, of these past couple of days. And I think our texters have responded to it and they've wanted to hear about it. But I do think this is funny that my dad just texted me and said, I'm really enjoying listening to the Sooner Football Network on WCCP. We have talked a lot of OU,
yes.
But this is a huge story, you know? And really, there's nothing really happening with Clemson right now.
Well, here's what's happening
just that post-Natty glow.
Can I give you my hypothesis about what happened yesterday with Clemson? ACC schedules come out. Clemson fans look at the schedule. They manufacture a game to be concerned about, realize they've done all this work and they're really not that concerned, and then they wrote them down on their calendar for the year and now they're back to doing whatever else. I mean, there was a time when schedule conversation would be the week. That would be the week. My gosh, look at the October. Matt Ryan and Boston College are coming in here in October. Look who Clemson's first conference game is. It's at Georgia Tech. Oh, for the love of God. Oh.
The House of Horrors.
Oh, my gosh.
In other words, our job has gotten harder.
Yeah, it had, because no one really cares to break down the ins and outs of Clemson's schedule, because ultimately everyone knows they're going 12-0. That's what's happening. Now, before we get back to some of these stats, I would like to say one thing. We have, and I was listening to Brad and Ben talk about this, and I spoke to Brad briefly about this as we were doing the show exchange here. We have basically allowed South Carolina fans to preemptively cry on our shoulder collectively, right, about the schedule they have coming up next year. Would you say that's fair, that we have been basically allowing South Carolina, like, go ahead, get it out now.
We've told them to cry about it, basically.
Yes.
It
is
going to
be a brutal schedule. Now, with that being said, I had two thoughts as I was coming in this morning about that. Because what I would say is South Carolina is still not where it wants to be as a program. It's not where it wants to be in terms of having the kind of team that could compete with that kind of schedule next year. And so you should just resign yourself to that fact. For whatever reason this morning, I was not feeling that way. I was like, you know something? You got to beat Tennessee. You got to beat App State, and you got to beat Kentucky. At some point, you just have to say, no, enough. We're not going to resign ourselves to this is part of this or whatever. No, you grow up, you man up. I know you hate that, but that's what I'm going to say. You grow up a little bit.
I think it does apply here, to be honest.
And you win these mid-level games. You beat the 7-5 teams.
Beat Kentucky.
Beat teams are going to play in a bowl game before Christmas. That's what you have to do. That ain't, I mean, no disrespect. That's what App State is. When we say App State is part of a difficult schedule for South Carolina, what we're saying is we don't respect South Carolina enough to say that they're going to beat App State. Remember, before Clemson was really Clemson, but when we still had some questions about Clemson, remember App State came in and it was 41 to 10 or whatever it was? Clemson beat App State? Is there a military invasion? There's a helicopter overhead and, like, I could hear Kelly, I mean, you, like, looked around. What are we doing? So
I think it's gone now.
It kind of hovered a little bit. It was a bit frightening. Anyway.
We're fine.
I mean, we're sitting here. We're making all these excuses. And, look, I am not saying a South Carolina fan should leave this going, you know what? Yeah, Quark's right. 9-3 all the way. East Championship. Let's go. No. I'm just saying, why resign yourself to 5-7, which is what I probably think. What I probably think that you'd be doing.
I'll tell you why.
5-7. Why is that?
Because as a fan who, and there are a lot of South Carolina fans that are very emotionally invested in what the Gamecocks do, just like with Clemson, just like with any major college team. As a fan, it is a lot easier to look at the schedule and say, all right, 6-6. And then if they do go 8-4, you're pleasantly surprised and it's a great year.
Fair.
You can't go into it and say, oh, this, we should definitely go 8-4. When this schedule is so hard, I think you have to be realistic about it to a certain extent just to temper your expectations, because there aren't that many teams in the country that would look at this schedule and say, oh, yeah, 8-4, 9-3. I mean, this thing is brutal. Forget App State. The rest of it is brutal. It's not even about App State. And we joke about Kentucky. A couple years ago, over the five-loss stretch, you know, a few of those games early on, yes, Carolina should have won. But Kentucky was the better team last year. Kentucky was a better team. They won the Citrus Bowl or whatever. So to say that last year's loss to Kentucky was a bad loss, that's just not being truthful. But this year, without Josh Allen, without Benny Snell, then, yeah, I think you should beat Kentucky at home. This year, I think you can expect that.
I want to compare South Carolina to Texas A&M for a second, because something that Brad and Ben were talking about just piqued my interest, and I just want to talk about this just for a moment, and we'll get back to the stats. I'm looking at the Sagarin ratings from this past football season. Texas A&M was ranked 12th. They finished 9-4. South Carolina was ranked 41st. They finished 7-6. Texas A&M lost some guys. They lost a handful of guys, actually, that I saw at least one publication had them as one of the losers of the early entry, because like Jay Sternberger and a couple other guys who might not be super highly drafted left, along with
the running back,
Travion Williams, who set a Gator Bowl record against NC State. Doran, who also has got to replace his entire staff this year. Good luck with that. I think the Steelers just hired a guy off his staff, so that brings the staff defections up to Saban levels from NC State. Let's go through Texas A&M's schedule real quick, okay? Because Texas A&M also has to play Clemson and Alabama and Georgia next year.
And LSU.
Let's play a little win game with Texas A&M's schedule. And I just want to say, well, we'll make the point I'm going to make in a second. All right, let's play a little win game. Texas State with Texas A&M.
When?
At Clemson.
That's a loss.
Loss. Lamar.
When?
All right. Auburn.
I think they win that at home.
I think they do, too, because Auburn, I mean, their best option quarterback is probably Bo Nix, the freshman. He's going to be going into Kyle Field. I agree. That's a win. Arkansas at AT&T.
Win.
These games are weird, but that's a win. That's 4-1, okay? Bye week, Alabama at home.
Loss.
I say still a loss, 4-2. Is Tua still the quarterback? 4-Tua.
I would assume, unless he's hurt and they bring in Mac Jones.
You would think. Who? Mac Jones. At Ole Miss.
That should be a win.
You got to win that, right? You got to win that. 5-2. Mississippi State.
That should be a win.
I would think, I mean, if they can't score, are you going to go on the road and win? No, 6-2. UTSA.
Win.
Okay. Bye week, South Carolina.
That should be a win.
That should be a win. 8-2, right? Then you get at Georgia.
Loss.
Okay.
I would say.
At LSU.
Winnable.
Winnable.
But probably a loss.
I would say probably a loss there at the end of the year. Okay, that's 8-4. That's good. Look at the list of games. Texas A&M's like six or seven toughest games, Auburn at home. At Clemson, Auburn, Alabama, Mississippi State, South Carolina's a decently tough game, at Georgia, at LSU, and we just gave them 8-4.
The difference is when you look at A&M's schedule and you compare it to South Carolina's, A&M, at least with Jimbo last year, they proved for the most part they could beat the teams that they should beat. Win the games you're supposed to win. That's what I said to Carolina at the kickoff show when we did that many months ago. Win the games you're supposed to win. We believe, you and I believe, that A&M is a better team and should beat Auburn, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, South Carolina. Those are the middle of the pack games. Win the games you're supposed to win. Then you're going to probably lose to Georgia and you're going to lose to Clemson and all these teams, but you give yourself so much more room for error when you beat the teams you're supposed to beat. That's the trouble with South Carolina's schedule, is you can't sit here and say confidently that Carolina's going to beat Kentucky or beat Tennessee or beat teams like that. You just can't say that confidently.
I agree with that. There are fewer free wins on South Carolina's schedule than there were on the Texas A&M schedule.
Now, it could be a testament to the fact that the East is better in the middle than the West is.
Now, that is also true. And another thing, I'm not saying that just because Texas A&M and South Carolina have hard schedules that they should both have the same record. That's not my point. But my point is simply this. Texas A&M, in the games not against, in their very difficult schedule where they're playing a ton of really good teams in there, in their games not against South Carolina, so let's take the common games out of it, we just gave Texas A&M a 7-4 record. That means for South Carolina to make a bowl game, they have to go 6-5 against that schedule. And you know something? With a senior quarterback, young talent that you presumably like on defense, I don't love South Carolina's defense, but presumably they do, with the quarterback who is going to put 500 yards on everybody, right? Because he did against Clemson, so he's got to do it against everybody. With all these receivers and all these skill guys coming back, if you don't make a bowl game, you've squandered it, right? I mean, this is kind of a big year. Like, you need to do something. You can't just say, well, you know, schedule 5-7. Here we go. To me, you have to at least show that when the schedule gets difficult, because it will in your league, you have to be able to navigate that well, at least decently well.
There is a certain positive aspect to having a schedule like that. And I know this might sound patronizing. If you're a Gamecock, you're just thinking, Clemson, look at your schedule, look at ours. Don't talk to me about that. And I get that. They're not equal. There is an equity there. There's no doubt about it. But when you play a schedule like Carolina's, you have opportunities. You have big time opportunities to upset someone, to make a statement, to do something incredible that people will be talking about on a national stage. You have tons of chances to do that. So I think you can't shy away from it and say, well, you know, just look at the schedule. And I'm sure the team is not doing that. I'm talking about the fan base. But
right,
there are chances here. There are chances to make a statement. And if you do overachieve, Quack, if you go 8-4 against that schedule, people will respect that. Because any educated football fan will look at that schedule and understand how difficult it is.
I mean, you got a defensive line with, like, Wanham and Belk and Zach Pickens on it. You ought to make a bowl game.
You have a recording studio now.
I'm not suggesting that South Carolina is going to go 9-3 or even 8-4, which Texas A&M, because Texas A&M is recruited way better than South Carolina for way more years and has more talent in the program and probably better coaching staff than South Carolina has. Okay. However, I think it would be disrespectful to what Wilmot's champ has done to just expect 5-7 and then we pick it all up and we move on and go on our merry way. No. That's disrespectful to what they've done. It also is letting them off easy a little bit. Because if, Clemson Tim on Twitter says, the Clemson game could quite possibly be a must-win for U of SC to become bowl eligible. Talk about giving little brother a swirly. The Oculus sends us a tweet that he sent Brad and Ben talking about South Carolina's schedule, where he basically has 4 wins, 4 losses, and 4 hinge games. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that North Carolina, who is it? Charleston Southern, that's the second one. Vanderbilt and App State, you should win all 4 of those. You're going to lose to Bama, at Georgia, at Texas A&M, and lose to Clemson. And then you just split the 4 at Missouri, Kentucky, at Tennessee, or excuse me, Florida and at Tennessee.
Yeah, that's 6-6.
If you're a program worth a sack of salt, you find a way to get to 6-6. And if not, the schedule should not be a big excuse to me. If you've been recruiting well, if you got aspirations to compete in the, you know, whatever, unless you have major injuries, if something goes horribly wrong, then you lower expectations. I don't think I'm being unreasonable about this.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay. Let's go ahead and take a break since we're almost up against one.
Quack, I'm also not sure how the Oculus tweets because I don't see opposable thumbs on that thing.
The Oculus has...
It's impressive.
The Oculus has a bat signal now, a paw signal. Don't.
That is legit.
I mean, it beams light into the sky. I think it can find a way to get a message through a phone to Twitter.
Are we adding a second Oculus because now Clemson has won two playoff trophies? Or just stick with the one?
Just I would say just the one.
Okay.
Just the one is fine. Just the, it's just a symbol of what resides. It's not the number. It's a symbol of what resides. Championship. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll get to more of those stats from bowl season. I'm glad we could just go down that and just, you know, give a little pick-me-up and also a bit of a challenge and also just the idea that we're not going to let South Carolina fans off easy if they go 5-7 next year. More to come out of bounds. Hour 3 continues in a moment.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
You really don't need a special reason or a special occasion to shop at Reed's Jewelers. Simply put, anytime you step into Reed's, the award-winning staff will be sure you leave with a smile and what you came for. From diamonds for her to watches for him, Reed's has it. And to help you with your purchase, ask the Reed's team about their extended payment plans. Jewelry is about relationships that last a lifetime with your loved one and with your jeweler. Reed's Jewelers, online at Reed's.com in Haywood Mall next to Belk.
Hi, this is Coach Dabo Sweeney. You know, when it comes to buying or servicing a vehicle, I always choose Toyota of Easley for their great selection, affordable prices, and outstanding customer service. Toyota of Easley is a family-owned business, and in all the years I've been a customer, I've always been treated like family. I encourage you to visit Toyota of Easley if you're looking for a new or pre-owned vehicle or in need of service. Toyota of Easley is all in, and their name means a great deal.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
This is George Jeffries again with Metal Building Supply in Piedmont. Do you have nuts? Well, we do, and bolts, panels, trims, and all the accessories you would need to do that shed project or roof on your home. Give us a call and talk to Kevin Brown. We can offer the names of contractors in the area and help you with the materials you need to solve those problems on your commercial building or your home. That's Metal Building Supply, 1500 Elrod Road, just off exit 39 and I-85 in Piedmont. Or call 295-0506 and ask for Kevin.
Anderson County is a great place to live and work, play, and worship. Samantha Porter, the Anderson County environmental educator, encourages residents to reduce, reuse, and recycle. You can recycle plastic bottles and jugs, mixed paper and cardboard, clear, brown, and green glass, aluminum, and steel cans, use motor oil and cooking oil, tires, and electronics. If you have any questions, please call Anderson County Solid Waste at 260-1001 in regard to recycling and proper waste disposal.
LKQ Pick Your Part. Over a million parts from hundreds of cars to choose from. Bring your own tools. Pull the parts you need and save. It's that easy. Check out our new part search feature on our website, lkqpickyourpart.com. Sign up for our PYP Garage. Download our PYP Garage app and get instant notifications on your vehicle. When it comes to an LKQ Pick Your Part near you, find the parts you need and save today at LKQ Pick Your Part. What's in your garage?
The flagship station for Clemson football.
Off play action. Wants to go long. Throws it across the middle looking for Higgins. Has it at the 10. Higgins into the end zone. Touchdown.
We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
from the south side, got brazen hair. First time I seen her walk by, and I about fell off my chair. Had to get her number, and it took me like 6 weeks. Now me and her go way back, like Cadillac.
Well, the show just took a, it just took a turn, and quite honestly, it took a tumble with the news that Prince Philip, is that who it was?
We don't need
was
to talk about
this. Was it a car accident? I mean, very few things can cause Kelly Gramlich's mood to change. Like, remember the royal family in an auto accident?
The royals are very important to me, but mobile. Honestly, Prince Philip is not one of my favorites, so I don't really care.
Oh, okay. That's fine, then.
He just walks behind the queen. He's not that important.
That's horrible. When is The Crown Season 3 coming out? When are they doing that?
You're asking me. I'm just sitting here patiently waiting. Just waiting. Come on.
Oh, boy. We'll get back to the stats from bowl season coming up in a moment. But first, we got to tell you how you can have one of the best New Year's resolutions you can have. Your personal health and wellness is a big deal. And that means looking, feeling good. To me, it's there's nothing better than walking into a venue and having people say, man, that guy, he looks good. Now, I need a lot of help in that department. Some people don't. I do. I need a lot of help in that department. And that's where Harry's comes in. They've got a 2018 Esquire Grooming Award for a reason, because they help you, the folks at Harry's, take better physical care of yourself. I love the closeness of the shave. I love how affordable the products are. I love how durable the blades are. It's unbelievable. Harry's founders, tired of paying up for razors, overpriced and overdesigned. Right now, you can get the best. Start the new year off right with Harry's. New customers get a five-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and travel cover for just $3 plus free shipping when you use the code OOB at harrys.com. Great shaves are not about gimmicks, folks. They're about a simple, clean design, quality, durable blades at a fair price. Harry's has changed the game in a positive manner. They bought a world-class blade factory in Germany, making quality blades for over 95 years. Replacement cartridges with Harry's just $2 each. Got rid of upcharges. They're about half the price of the leading drugstore brands. For limited time only, Harry's got a special offer for listeners of the show. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's with code OOB at harrys.com. It means you get a razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use code OOB at harrys.com. Join the millions who've already switched. Go to harrys.com today. Use the code OOB at checkout to claim your offer. I will be shaving fresh and anew for a little Lady Tiger basketball tonight. More on that in just a moment. First, let's go to the phones. James is up with us next. He wants to talk about the U of SC, which is now the South Carolina Gamecocks. What's up, James?
Hey, man, I love talking to y'all. Y'all shoot it straight from the hip, and I like that.
Well, we appreciate that.
I want to ask y'all a question concerning South Carolina and their schedule. Does South Carolina look promising this year with the new quarterback, or they don't look promising? You know, I know the schedule is going to be interesting with South Carolina. And also, I want to ask you, what they're going to do with Jason Garrett, you know, with the Dallas Cowboys? I'm a Dallas fan. This has been a hard season for me. So I'm just, you know, asking two questions. I can take it off the air.
All right, sounds good, James. We appreciate it. You know, I don't think South Carolina's going, I'll say it this way, they're not going backwards. The tendency will be to think that they're going in reverse, that there's regression this year. Let's say they do go 5-7, which is what I'm probably going to predict at the start of the year. I'm probably going to predict they go 5-7 unless there's a major change. And again, as I said, I don't think we should just resign ourselves to that. But I think it seems like a logical way to address the situation. With that being said, I like what they're doing up front. I like their defensive line. Like I said, with Wanham and Belk and Zach Pickens coming in. I like the Helinski kid. I don't think you should expect him to be a plug-and-play freshman. I think they should consider doing some unique stuff with Dak Joyner, because they have a guy with a unique athleticism they can put in the Wildcat and do some different things with. And you know they have that package because Debo Samuel's not there.
Can I just tell you something I just noticed on GamecocksOnline.com?
What's that?
I was looking to see if Tyler Helinski, right? That's how you say his last name? I know I've messed
Helinski,
up his last
name
before.
Tyler Helinski.
If he was on the roster yet, if he was on the website yet. Carolina, currently, they still have Michael Skarn on there, so take that with a grain of salt, right? Because we know he's graduated. They have 8 quarterbacks listed on the roster right now on GamecocksOnline.com.
Got to be walk-ons.
So Michael Skarnecki is gone. He's the only senior. You've got Darius Douglas, Dak Joyner, Jay Urich, Corbett Glick, Michael Skarnecki's gone, Bailey Hart, Danny Gordon, and Jake Bentley. That's ridiculous. How do you have that many quarterbacks on your roster without even Tyler Helinski on there?
It's got to be walk-ons and scout team and people like that. That has to be the case.
I've never seen a roster with eight quarterbacks.
That many quarterbacks?
That's crazy. But he said the new quarterback. I think he was referencing Tyler Helinski, but there's no way that he's not taking Jake Bentley's spot here. I don't think that's happening.
For sure. Now, Helinski is going to join Bentley and Joyner and Jay Urich, who I would think that Urich is probably going to be your backup next year. And Joyner will be more of a gimmick guy. If it were, like, if I'm just handicapping the situation from afar, Urich was a good he was a good player at Wren. I watched him play a couple times. Good player. And, you know, Helinski's going to need to, I mean, why would you not go ahead and play him, see what he's got, particularly if he's got the arm talent we think he does and if he's got the skills that we think he does. Go ahead and put him out there next year. Use your four games and redshirt the guy. That's what I'd do. But like you said, it's a crowded quarterback room. Even on scholarships, it's a crowded quarterback room.
How do these guys get reps in practice if you have eight quarterbacks?
Well, I mean, those guys are not getting reps.
Okay, they're hanging out.
Yeah,
they're just standing there.
Yeah, Bobby and Greville says Bentley, Urich, Joyner, and Helinski only ones on scholarship, so the rest are not scholarship guys.
I just haven't seen that many listed on a roster. That really surprised me.
That's right. So you're gonna have Jake Bentley. You get Ryan Helinski in there. You get Urich and Joyner. I think Joyner ends up being the odd man out. I'm just not sure he throws it well enough for that offense. What they want from the quarterback. We knew he was going to be a work in progress throwing the ball anyway. In-state guy. All right, back to the stats, Kelly. The 23 stats for bowl season. What else has piqued your interest from that list?
Let's see. All right, the fourth stat on this list. I'm going to skip some of them, but this one's really interesting. Notre Dame heading into, or no, we'll just say in general. Notre Dame allowed 3 passes of 40-plus yards all season. 2 of those they allowed to Clemson in the Cotton Bowl.
How about that? Notre Dame, we talked about that before the game, how they had not given up any big plays. Clemson had
something
to drive
had
the ball.
To give,
going to need to run it some. Well, they just chucked it whenever they wanted against Notre Dame, however they wanted. Clemson basically took that stat, ripped it up, and threw it in the trash.
A little bit. This Michigan stat is pretty ridiculous. Michigan allowed 103 combined points to Ohio State and Florida, their last 2 games. Prior to that, Michigan allowed 149 points in its first 11 games combined.
Goodness gracious.
They allowed 149 points in 11 games and then 103 points in 2 games.
It was a bit of a slip for Michigan. Like, they did not play great against Indiana. That was a late game. They were actually down late to Indiana and came back, and they won the game by a couple touchdowns. They got a couple late stops. They sort of showed some leakage late. But before November, I think they were the best defense in the country, personally. I mean, statistically, it seemed not inarguable, but it seemed fairly clear to me through the beginning of November that they were the one. And then the end of the year, they got hurt, and they faced the best teams they faced. And they were tested, and they failed the test.
When they face teams with real speed, just a different level of speed, Ohio State and Florida, they really struggled.
I like Don Brown a lot, but playing straight man with no desire to differ on that, playing straight man on the outside, mm-hmm. probably not going to work against Ohio State and Florida as well as it does against, you know, even like Penn State.
Or Wisconsin.
Or, you know, Wisconsin or something like that. It is a little bit interesting, though, that Penn State's probably got good athletes. And Michigan, all they do is just beat the living daylights out of Penn State. I mean, they beat the stew out of Penn State every time they play them. You would think that matchup might favor Penn State because of the speed. Maybe they just, as a play caller, you know, as an apparatus, they don't do a good job attacking it. But, I mean, they played man come hell or high water, and Ohio State and Florida, speed-wise, just, I mean, they ran up and down the field, did whatever they wanted.
They did. UCF extended its streak to 26 consecutive games, scoring at least 30 points. That's the longest streak in the AP poll era since 1936.
How about that? That's a good number right there. Because they have played a few decent teams in there. And they also had a quarterback hurt.
Yeah.
They played games with a quarterback hurt and were able to keep that going.
All right, next one. Auburn, we know this about Auburn, their beatdown of poor, sweet Purdue. Auburn set FBS bowl records for first half points and halftime lead against Purdue in the Music City Bowl. They absolutely rewrote the record books with how badly they beat Purdue.
That was the most surprising game of the whole bowl season to me. Not that Auburn won necessarily. I picked Purdue, but that was essentially a coin flip to me, and I took the motivation, and I took Malzahn's struggles in bowl games. When he took over play calling duties, I was a little concerned, but I thought there were limitations on this team, and I was wrong about that. And the guy just, I mean, they chucked it down the field. They did whatever they wanted. Purdue couldn't get anything going. That game was an embarrassment after about 10 minutes. Even Army-Houston wasn't like that, which more on that in a second, but even Army-Houston wasn't like that.
Speaking of Army-Houston and FBS bowl records, Army tied FBS bowl records for points and margin of victory in their 70-14 win over Houston in the Armed Forces Bowl. Auburn won 63-14. So really just a touchdown extra for Army in that beatdown.
There's no reason for you to lose by 7 touchdowns in a bowl game.
No, there really isn't. There just isn't.
7 touchdowns. Or in the case of Houston, 8 touchdowns. You lose by 8 touchdowns. I don't care how many people are out. I don't care how your court. That's why Major Applewhite got fired after the bowl game. Because that was embarrassing. Also, Houston backed itself into a corner by saying, we fire coaches at 8-4. We're a 10-win program. Okay, buddy. All right. Whatever you say, that billionaire down there is just throwing money. He's just making it rain on coaches and buyouts. That's what he's doing.
Georgia Southern, this next stat's about Georgia Southern, which Clemson fans are familiar with. Clemson played Georgia Southern this year. Georgia Southern is believed to be the first team in FBS history to not throw a single interception all season. Now, they ran the option, so there is that. But they did not throw a single interception. They were plus 22 in the turnover margin. Plus 22.
That's bonkers. I'm going to try to figure this out.
And they went 10-3.
2017, Alabama threw 3. That was the fewest in the country. 3. 2016, Oklahoma State, Western Michigan, Georgia Tech tied with 4. 2015, Navy had 2. 2014, Army had 2. Nobody had fewer than 4. 2013, it was Louisville, South Carolina, Air Force, Navy, Army. That was it in 2013. 2012, Army had 2. I mean, like a lot of these years, you got like 3 or 4 is the fewest in the country. Never even like 1. In fact, Georgia Southern had 0. Next lowest was Army with 3. Nobody had 1 or 2 this year. That is remarkable. I would have never thought about that. That is a remarkable stat.
That's pretty incredible. Pretty incredible. Next stat has to do with BYU. We remember this happening, Kwok, in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. One of the best bowls out there. BYU freshman quarterback Zach Wilson was 18-for-18. In the Idaho Potato Bowl, the most completions without an incompletion in bowl history. Went 18 of 18. It's impressive.
I like that the other quarterback was Riley Skinner, 11 for 11, 2008 Eagle Bank Bowl.
Eagle Bank Bowl.
Eagle Bank Bowl. I think
that
was the one.
How long did that bowl exist?
Just a couple years. I think that was up in D.C. Maybe what the Military Bowl is now. That was the Eagle Bank Bowl. I think it was played up in Baltimore. I'm pretty sure. I might be wrong, but I think that was it. I'll have to look up the history of that one. But, Wilson ends the year with 19 straight completions. How about that?
There you go.
Way to go, freshman. And Western Michigan, can you get in the way one time? Can you disrupt the passer even
something.
Once? You have to get an incompletion in a game, in 60 minutes. You have to force one.
I also love that the trophy at the Idaho Potato Bowl is just full of potatoes.
Yes.
That's excellent.
Boom.
It's just rain and potatoes.
That's what we're talking about.
Our next stat, Kwok. Mississippi State allowed just 15 touchdowns all season, the fewest by an FBS team since 2011.
Would be more impressive if they didn't only score 13 touchdowns. Oh! That's not true.
They finished second in scoring defense behind Clemson. How many touchdowns did Clemson allow? Because it was definitely a small number. Obviously, Mississippi State led the country.
Let me see. I think it was like 16 or 17. Mississippi State, a lot of field goal drives.
Clemson allowed 8 rushing touchdowns and 13 passing.
So 21.
Yeah.
21. How many field goals?
Well, hang obviously, how many Quack, scoring defense, Clemson played 15 games. Mississippi State played 13, so they would have allowed less touchdowns.
Mississippi State allowed the tied for the 4th most field goals in the country. They allowed 15 touchdowns, but 22 field goals. This is not a great stat, but I'm going to say it anyway. South Carolina allowed 42 touchdowns and 21 field goals this year.
It's a lot.
42 touchdowns and 21 field goals.
That is a lot.
Not great. The worst in the country, Connecticut. 81 touchdowns, 14 field goals.
81 touchdowns.
50.4 points a game.
They gave best up of 50 luck. Points per game.
Yeah, they did.
Whew. Clock, I'm going to skip our Cheez-It Bowl stats because we talked so much about the Cheez-It Bowl.
We did. We did. And I think we gave this stat. I'm pretty sure we gave this stat the day of, too.
Yeah, the Cheez-It Bowl was a fun one. I'm going to skip some of these, but just a few more for you. South Florida became the first team in FBS history to start 7-0 and finish 7-6.
Poor South Florida.
Poor South Florida.
We called that on the show.
Well, you called it. I picked them for some
that's true. You kept
God
picking
forsaken
them.
Reason.
I said, this is a team that was beating like UConn by 10. Again, UConn, who gave up 50 a game. Like, they played the worst schedule ever. Now, I didn't think they'd lose every game from there on out. I also picked Marshall to beat them, and Marshall, I think, was an underdog in that game, which was just remarkably bad from Vegas, although I guess you're taking USF. But that was an easier one for me. That was an easier one. In a bowl season where I got lots wrong, I'm happy to say that was one of the very few things I got right.
My issue was I picked USF to beat Georgia Tech early on, and then I got a little cocky with that about South Florida.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, South Florida, they're going to win this bowl game. No, not going to happen. Last two stats for you, Quack, have to do with two ACC teams. One of them, your beloved Demon Deacons. But let's start with Duke. Duke has won at least 8 games 4 times in the past 6 years. It had won 8 games only twice in the previous 50 years.
Lest we get jaded by David Cutcliffe's success and going, meh. The guy's winning 7 games now. He's not taking any steps. There are no steps past 8 games for Duke. You did it twice in 50 years, Duke. Take your 8 wins. Pat yourself on the back. Buy yourself a cookie cake and enjoy that. Enjoy the 8 wins.
8 wins, 4 times in the past 6 years. Before David Cutcliffe arrived in 08, Duke had gone 13 years without winning more than 4 games.
There were coaches who coached multiple years at Duke winning less than 8 games combined, then were fired. Like multiple. Carl Franks, I think, won like 4 games. Ted Roof won like 7 games.
These are the glory days, right?
Kind of. Spurrier might have been the glory
Maybe
days.
Maybe so.
But that was a very short period of time. This is a decade. This is the best decade in Duke football history.
It's a decade of dominance. Finally, our final stat, Quack. It has to do with your Deeks.
Oh, boy.
This stat is maybe crazier than the Duke stat. Wake Forest has posted 3 consecutive winning seasons for the 2nd time in 66 years.
You know now why I said they were great?
No, that does not explain that.
Because the bar is low at Wake Forest. Check it out. Unbelievable season for Wake Forest. Unbelievable 3-year run. 2nd time in 66 years they've had 3 straight winning seasons. This is like the 2nd best era of Wake Forest football. This right here, what we're in right now.
The 06 to 08 era was better.
It was
better. Riley Skinner, that was better.
Because the ACC was
the, ACC
the lowest of low-hanging fruit.
And then you have
I mean, so easy.
The 1950 to 52 era, which was a great era as well.
Yeah,
and then nothing in between.
Correct. We remember that one so vividly. I'm not even sure what league they would have been in, 50 to 52. So the Southern Conference?
Probably.
I don't know. Is that it?
That is it.
That's it?
I thought we'd end with Wake Forest.
Season. Great look back at bowl season. As with most things, the riveting conclusion is Wake Forest. Stay with us. Final segment of the program. Want to look at a couple of results in college basketball last night that made me go, what? We'll see if you had the same reaction. Plus, we have a women's basketball preview, Clemson, Georgia Tech tonight.
Come
Final
on.
Segment of the program. Coming up next.
This Tuesday, the Tigers hit the road and travel to Tallahassee to take on Leonard Hamilton's Florida State Seminoles in this key ACC matchup in hopes of bringing home a victory. Pre-game starts at 6:30 p.m. with a 7 p.m. first tip right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch every basketball game this season from first tip to last buzzer right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
A new year means great new opportunities to save big at George Coleman Ford and Traveler's Rest, like a 2018 F-150 XLT with four-wheel drive and heated seats, $13,000 off MSRP at just $37,960. Are you kidding me? That's why we always say, trucks cost less than Traveler's Rest. Get to George Coleman Ford and save big on this F-150 XLT right now. Trust me, you'll thank me later.
Everyone qualifies. Offer good through February 28th, 2019.
The new year is here, and the Mattress Outlet in Seneca is starting the year with huge clearance on mattresses in all sizes. Save up to an additional 10 to 60% on our already low pricing, and you still receive a free foundation with select mattress purchases or upgrade to an adjustable base. Start your new year's right with a new Beautyrest or Serta mattress today. The New Year's clearance at the Mattress Outlet in Seneca opens 7 days a week, located at the corner of the old Walmart across from Chick-fil-A.
Brock here with Tom's Barbecue to let you know about our catering services. Tom's Barbecue caters to many corporate events and wants to help your business boost morale with a great meal to guarantee that your employees leave work happier and fuller. Choose from any of our catering packages or pick a la carte from our menu. You will even receive 25% off of your first order when you mention WCCP. So what are you waiting for? Call 864-288-2652. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
Expertise is yet another reason contractors and facility managers choose Crute LED. We sell the best products because we design them ourselves. The practical experience of installing them and learning what works best for our contractors and installers allows us to create fixtures that are exceptionally easy to install and include all the necessary parts without anything else to buy. Call us at 864-401-8156 or email us at sales@crute-led.com for more info on our innovative products or to place your order today.
Life can be complicated from time to time. If you need a local attorney, Nick Lavery will help you navigate any issue, whether it's criminal, personal injury, or if you need help with a residential or commercial real estate closing. With over 19 years of experience and a former state prosecutor, Nick knows the law. The office of Nick Lavery is conveniently located in downtown Clemson. Ready to win? Call Nick today at 864-654-3680 for your free consultation today.
The more money you have, the more you may need to explore diversification opportunities offered by the independent financial advisors at QE Financial Group. They have customized strategies that can provide diversification of your portfolio that you may not get from the big box guys or robo-advisors with their one-size-fits-all approach. Let Greg Wells and his staff show you how to diversify for your specific needs. Call Kiwi Financial Group today at 654-5043 or online at kiwifg.com.
Why shop Reed's Jewelers? Better yet, why not? Reed's Jewelers invites you to make them your jeweler, and you'll soon discover why so many like you now shop Reed's. From their award-winning staff to their impressive selection of jewelry to their customer-friendly financing, Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, invites you to join the thousands of customers who have started a relationship with them. We'd love to see you. Reed's Jewelers, Haywood Mall, next to Belk, online at Reed's.com.
The flagship station for Clemson football. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones? 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the Rolling Stones. I don't feel like rocking since my baby's gone.
Final segment of the program. I need to address this. Ben Milstead just dropped this to me via Twitter. And we're like, you know, we're like 50 yards from each other, but we drop, you know, we send each other emails and we get tweets from each other, which is fine. That's a fine way to communicate. This is from Tennessee. I'm just going to read this one paragraph. This is from College AD. Says Tennessee's athletic director saw a couple of offensive linemen who he thought needed coaching during a drill last fall. So Fulmer, the former Vols coach, jumped in and coached him up. That's an NCAA violation. Farmer's mistake was among eight NCAA violations that Tennessee reported during the last 6 months of 2018. They released a report detailing the violations in response to a public records request. Phil Fulmer, as I always say, Kelly, you could take the man out of coaching, but you can't take coaching out of the man.
Sir, you are the athletic director. You are the director of athletics. You are not the offensive line coach.
Technically,
or you are just not a coach at all.
Technically, he was at that moment directing athletics as far as or pertaining to the offensive line of the football team. He was directing athletics.
That is simply not allowed.
We can laugh at this, right?
Yeah.
We can laugh at how mom and pop this is.
A little bit, yeah.
That you hired your former football coach and he's trying to be football coach and not AD?
Mm-hmm.
We can laugh at that. Okay.
Also, why is he at practice and not in his office doing AD things? I understand that athletic directors sometimes visit practice, sure. But are they that engrossed in day-to-day practices that they are going to sit there and coach the O-line?
I mean, look. You hire coaches and let them coach, right? I mean, Terry Don Phillips used to be on field. Like, he used to be in, like, football coaching.
Right.
And he became an AD, and he wasn't coaching in practice. Right. You know the difference. Tennessee continues to boggle the mind with the way they totally mishandle, like, very normal day-to-day things. But they're a basketball school now, Kelly. Men's basketball.
You're darn women right are, they are. The women are struggling.
We're on a three-game losing streak, right, in SEC play.
Yeah.
I want to get to women's basketball in just a second. First, there were some results. We need to start looking at the bigger picture of college basketball a little more frequently because we get closer to March and Selection Sunday and all that jazz. Last night, Iowa State went to Texas Tech and won. Kind of a big deal. 1-4. Texas Tech came back late. They were way up. It was a very good game, and it was a... It was really, we talk about desperation. You said Clemson was a desperate team. Iowa State was a little bit desperate because they had just lost at Baylor. They lost by one to Kansas State at home. They could not afford to follow up beating Kansas by 17 with a three-game losing streak. And so they kind of needed, at least for the in the near term, they needed a win, and they got it.
And that's a tough place to win in Lubbock at United Supermarkets Arena.
I'll tell you something, they play hard. Texas Tech. With Coach Beard, they play so hard.
They do.
Shamori Pons dropped 22 last night. He was a game-time decision. Of course, he dropped 22. St. John's beat Creighton by 15. Let's see. Auburn went to A&M and dusted the Aggies, 85-66. I was a little surprised at the margin, but A&M is not very good. Auburn, though, very good.
That didn't really surprise me as much. What surprised me more was that A&M went to Alabama and won this past weekend.
Yes.
That surprised me.
That was a bit of a shocker and another head-scratcher for Avery Johnson's team. They yes. seem to have a few of those. Speaking of Alabama, they beat Missouri by 10 at Missouri. That's a nice win for them. Minnesota is looking at potential tournament. They got destroyed at Illinois last night by like 30. Richard Pitino's team. What was it? 95-68. Not great. VCU beat Dayton last night. Kansas State beat Oklahoma by 13.
They were up much bigger than that throughout the game.
They did. That's not a good look for Lon Kruger's team. They were ranked. They were ranked. Tulsa and Connecticut. Do you see what happened with this one? Tulsa and UConn, where Frank Haith and Danny Hurley got ejected.
Both of them?
They both got ejected. For they were drawing each other, and then apparently they got, I saw a little snippet of video from this. Like, they started talking to each other, like, closer up. And so they teed them up again and ejected both coaches.
That's, I kind of like that. That's
I've
funny.
Never seen that. They're like, we're friends. Like, at the media, they're like, we've known him for 20 years. Hurley's like, Frank Haith recruited my high school kids. I've known him forever. That was kind of funny. How about, don't look now.
Are you bringing up who I think you're bringing
don't
up?
Don't look now, Kelly Gramley. The Gamecocks are 4-0 in league.
That's what I thought.
Old Frank Martin, old fired Frank, get him out of here. He can't recruit or coach or anything, said the Gamecock fans. We're over him. He's done. Hasn't undiddly since the Final Four. Everybody's looking up at South Carolina in the SEC. Another win last night. This one on the road at Vandy. They've won at Florida. They've won at Vandy. Two nice wins on the road in the SEC. And look. It's Tennessee, it's South Carolina, and it's nobody else at the top of the league.
The only other 4-0 team in league is Tennessee with South Carolina.
Now, they have an uphill battle
to get to
500.
It reminds me of the Clemson team, 2015-16? playing them in Bonsecours, where you just dug yourself such a hole in non-conference play that even though Clemson played really well in league and beat some really good teams and had a great record to finish the league, it just wasn't good enough because your non-conference wasn't good enough. And I fear that's going to be the issue with South Carolina.
South Carolina against D1 opponents was 4-7 in non-conference. That's not just digging yourself a hole, Kelly. That is digging yourself a hole, opening up a coffin, jumping inside, falling in the hole, and then somehow burying yourself. That's what South Carolina did in the pre-conference. But since they lost to Clemson, and with Marquise Reed coming off the bench, basically raising from the dead, and he drops in like 20 points, they've won 5 in a row, including a win over a North Greenville on New Year's Eve. But that their next, I mean, here's what they got coming up schedule-wise. They got at LSU, that's tough. They got Auburn at home, that's tough. They got at Oklahoma State, which they could win that. Oklahoma State just kicked 3 kids off the team. They could win that. And then Tennessee at home, they're probably going to lose that. And you get at Georgia, that's winnable.
You're telling me they can't go win at LSU when they already beat Mississippi State, you know?
I guess so. I guess they can go. But I mean, they went to Florida and won. Florida's not bad. Florida's probably tournament team right now.
You think they're not going to beat Auburn, but they get Auburn at home.
If I'm looking at this, KenPom's got them at 9-9. In order to get over 500 before the SEC tournament, they have to go 11-7. And I'm not sure I see 7 more wins on this. But like you said, they've been playing well. And they've got another non-conference. They've got another non-conference game with Oklahoma State. If they can win that game at Oklahoma State, that gives them 6 non-conference wins. And it means that they have one less that they have to get in order to get over 500. So, I think what they've done is amazing. Certainly, they've gotten healthy, and that's helped. They've got Gravitt playing great off the bench. Coach Sars played great. He balled out against Mississippi State a couple games ago. So, we'll see what happens down in Columbia, but Frank Martin's doing a good job. All right, Lady Tigers tonight, in our final 4 minutes or so, taking on Georgia Tech. Kelly, you've been waiting for this. This is the triumphant return of the conquering heroes, the Clemson women's basketball team, and went on the road twice. And now they get to play their first home game in a week and a half with a 3-game win streak.
That's right. Tonight, 7 p.m., Little John. I looked online. Tickets are $6, and kids' tickets are cheaper. So you don't have an excuse if you're saying it's too much money, because it's not. It's actually a really good deal if you want to bring your kids and your family. It's probably the best bang for your buck. At Clemson when it comes to tickets. And Georgia Tech is a good, solid ACC team. They've made the NIT 3 years in a row, so they've made the tournament under this coach, but they haven't made it recently. And what's interesting about Georgia Tech that's different than past Tech teams is they're really led by 2 true freshmen. These 2 true freshmen are their best players. So I can't tell you that much about them because I haven't seen them in person. But I know who Georgia Tech is. They're very similar to this version of Clemson. They want to press. They want to be scrappy. They want to make an ugly game. They are really good on the glass. They can really rebound the ball. They can't shoot it as well. So I think you're going to see 2 teams that kind of look similar on the floor tonight. And of course, Georgia Tech, I think Tech's a little more desperate for a win, which is going to be interesting. I think that's one thing that Clemson has to handle is you've won 3 in a row. You beat 2 ranked teams. Bracketology has you in the tournament. I mean, how do you handle that and still go out there and play like you have, you know, that like you are the more desperate team? That's going to be interesting tonight. But this game, I think, is the glass is going to be very important. Whichever team can win the glass, or if Clemson can at least hold its own rebounding, because Tech is so big and they're so good. They're the second tallest team in the ACC. That's going to be important. But I'm very excited for this game tonight.
Miami and Florida State, maybe a little bit above where Clemson is right now, would you say? Just a little bit?
In terms of program?
Yeah, program. Yes. Okay. Georgia Tech, I mean, even given the fact that Amanda Butler's had to dig out of a significant hole, would you say that Clemson, Georgia Tech, as you look at them right now, are more peers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In general, the last couple years, Clemson and Tech have played close games, whereas they haven't really played close games with Miami or FSU.
I think that the matchup is a little iffy here. Talking to the staff before Florida State, there was a level of confidence that was almost alarming. Like, it set off some alarm bells.
It was alarming. I mean, to you and me.
It was. I mean, part of it is we were there. You know, we were there last year. We knew. But I'm interested to talk because I haven't talked to any staffers about this matchup coming up. I'm interested to see how they react with this matchup, knowing that it's going to be more about the glass, knowing that Michelle Joseph coaches emotionally, I would say. You'd say it's a high emotion. So they aren't as deep as Clemson is, but they can be. She'll sub at random. She'll throw five in it. We've seen her do crazy stuff. You don't really know sometimes with Georgia Tech. So from that standpoint, you're not really sure what to expect from them, and it could be something totally different from one matchup to the next. You don't really know. And so that's why this, and potentially with the two freshmen, especially now,
never seen a Georgia Tech team that is led in, their two leading scorers are freshmen.
And they are tall.
I mean, these girls are very talented, like these two freshmen, but they are freshmen.
They've got a tall bench, too, where a lot of their wings are like six-footers.
And you'll notice this, too, if you're at the game tonight. Georgia Tech, they recruit the entire globe. I mean, they have someone from everywhere. They have a girl from Finland, Italy, all over the place. That's something that's always a staple with Georgia Tech. I guess it's the Atlanta pool. You can get them to Atlanta. Kind of makes sense.
It's not the best for the radio crew. I can tell you that. Not
it's
the best
a little
for the radio
bit
announcer.
Of a struggle.
It's not quite like Syracuse where they also
sent a
30-second pronunciation video. They didn't just give you the written guide. They gave you a 30-second video for how to pronounce their names, which, you know, in some ways was clarifying, in other ways led to even more confusion. With Georgia Tech, luckily some of the worst names we've done before, whether we did them right or not, they're already there in the memory bank, so we're not real sure about that. Excited about that, though. 6:45 pregame. Kelly's got it on ACC Network Extra, too, so if you want to watch, if you want to listen.